morning, early birds. You've caught the Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Grizzly bear sightings northeast of Great Falls, census return rates, and the Federal Paycheck Protection Program. It's Thursday, June 11th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. State wildlife officials say a grizzly bear has been sighted nearly 80 miles northeast of Great Falls. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports that's well east of past grizzly sightings.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks grizzly specialist Wesley Sarmento says in 2017 there were reports of grizzlies near Stanford, but those bears could have come from the nearby mountainous Yellowstone ecosystem to the south. A grizzly spotted near Big Sandy Sunday is the farthest either the Yellowstone or Glacier National Park populations have ventured onto the eastern plains of Montana. FWP says it shows that bears are continuing to recolonize the prairie lands they haven't inhabited for decades. FWP suspects the grizzly near Big Sandy is a young wandering male. The bear got into dog food and killed a couple of chickens. Wildlife officials are educating area residents not accustomed to bears about how they can reduce conflict. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
The State Health Department has announced 8 new cases of COVID-19 in Montana out of more than 1,400 additional tests. 6 of the cases announced yesterday were from Gallatin County and 2 were from Bighorn County. Gallatin County officials voted Tuesday to allow bars, restaurants, breweries, distilleries, and casinos to stay open until 12:30 a.m. A COVID-19 case reported in Missoula County in late May was a false positive. Because Missoula had gone weeks without a positive case, the state health department called for the person to be tested again. The second test came back negative. Montana has had the 7th lowest 2020 census return rate among all states after 1/5 of its households weren't initially mailed invitations to participate. Kevin Trevlin reports counting has been especially difficult in rural reaches of the Treasure State.
Roughly 52% of Montanans have responded to the U.S. Census Bureau so far, according to an update delivered to the State Districting and Apportionment Commission on Wednesday. That's about 9% lower than the nationwide return average, which alarmed Joe Lamson and other commissioners.
I am fearful that we are setting ourselves up for a major undercount in both our rural counties as well as our reservation communities at this point.
A lot is riding on the census, including millions in federal funding and whether Montana gets a second seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. But the novel coronavirus pandemic halted fieldwork for several months. State Census Chief Mary Kregel said that was a serious bottleneck in Montana, which relies heavily on door-to-door info drop-offs. The state wants to reach a minimum goal of 60% self-response in each county, which only Cascade, Lewis and Clark, Missoula, Silverbow, and Yellowstone have reached so far. Each of those counties has sizable urban populations and strong broadband internet access. The Census Bureau doesn't mail invitations to P.O. boxes in many rural route addresses, however, so 20% of Montana households didn't initially receive paperwork. Many rural counties feature return rates of 20% or lower.
These low percentages are very concerning. We have a long way to go.
Kregel said almost no households in Indian Country were mailed census info. Workers fill those gaps by leaving questionnaires at doorstops, but that hasn't happened on all of Montana's reservations yet. 6 of them have a return rate of 16% or lower. Districting and Apportionment Commissioner Jeff Essman.
If we don't have these rural counties and our native populations properly counted, we're not going to be getting that second congressman.
Kregel says census workers could start knocking on the doors of non-responders in August. Kevin Trevlin, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Kevin Trevlin is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America State House reporter. Plans are in the works to permanently repair a major Montana highline water system that collapsed last month. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation's Milk River Project St. Mary Canal is a water lifeline for the Blackfeet and Fort Belknap reservations and other communities along the highline, as well as recreation, wildlife habitats, and irrigators. On May 7th, 17th, the water stopped flowing when Drop 5, a concrete drop structure north of Cutbank, collapsed. An inspection by the Bureau of Reclamation, Montana's Department of Natural Resources and Conservation, and the Milk River Joint Board of Control on May 27th decided the structure could not be fixed. They determined Drop 5, as well as Drop 2, another high-risk drop structure, needed to be immediately replaced. The Milk River Joint Board of Control and DNRC are in charge of the construction to be performed by Sletten Construction. It takes place on the Blackfeet Reservation, so complete cultural clearance and permitting must be concluded by the tribe before construction can begin. The goal is to have everything completed by late summer. A price tag has not been announced. The Milk River project is over 100 years old and is among the oldest of the Bureau of Reclamation's infrastructures. It has been the focus for decades of past and present members of Montana's congressional delegation trying to secure federal funding for repair of the aging system. Many economists say the federal Paycheck Protection Program has helped prevent broad economic collapse in the U.S., but they say transparency will be key in understanding how well the program actually worked. Nikki Ouellette spoke with Rachel Kramer, who's been reporting on the PPP in Montana, and new rules to make it easier for borrowers to qualify for loan forgiveness.
Rachel, thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us.
Thanks for having me.
So how many loans through the Paycheck Protection Program have been approved in Montana?
The latest U.S. Small Business Administration report shows over 22,000 loans worth more than $1.7 billion as of June 6th.
Whoa, so nearly $2 billion coming into the state from this program. Do we know where that money is going?
Anecdotally, yes, but when I went looking for a breakdown business by business, it doesn't seem like anyone's keeping track at a statewide level. I talked to Wendy Stock. She's a professor of economics at Montana State University, who actually studies the impacts of public policies and regulations in areas like the labor market and education. And she says a massive program like this needs transparency.
It's really important to make sure that we have accountability and that we have oversight of these programs so that we know where they're going. And even more importantly, we need to be able to assess how well the program worked. And that means that we're going to need to know, you know, what businesses got loans, how well were they able to keep their employees on payroll.
There was a lot of criticism when reporters found some large companies had been able to tap into the more than $600 billion program, which was intended for small, struggling businesses, not Shake Shack or the LA Lakers.
So where are you finding information about where this money is going?
Brent Donnelly with the SBA Montana Division said more data would need to come from the federal level.
Loans that are approved are in the SBA system, but we're not able, at least at the local level, to access that data.
The Montana Bankers Association and Montana Independent Bankers Association said they weren't collecting information from their members about PPP loans. Tracy Kenyon, president and CEO of Montana's credit unions, had the most information to share. She said that 10 credit unions with SBA lender approval reported 675 PPP loans totaling over $24 million as of May 18th. The smallest loan was for $580 through Sky Credit Union. Kenyon said that went to a therapist who had just opened a practice.
That $580 loan really speaks to my heart because you can see that the smallest businesses were impacted by COVID-19, and this program was able to help.
Sky Credit Union also approved the largest PPP loan out of all the credit unions in Montana. A print shop with around 180 employees received $4.3 million. Kenyon said that was an outlier. Most were less than $100,000. Some of the credit unions also provided details about the types of businesses served.
Agricultural support, farming, crop duster, oil field, those kinds of things were happening more on the eastern part of our state. And then on the western part was more, you know, attorney, counseling services,
title companies, those kinds of businesses.
So some questions about specifics of where these funds are going.
Yeah. And, you know, Wendy Stock, the professor of economics at MSU, said overall the PPP is doing what it was created to do.
It's got its warts. It's not perfect. But in terms of keeping businesses afloat, which is the key to having the economy recover, PPP is something that's helping us.
She said one of the big issues with the PPP was that it bumped up right against another program that was put out at the same time, the extension and expansion of unemployment insurance.
On the one hand, we saw the PPP encouraging businesses to keep their employees on payroll. But on the other hand, you had this expansion in unemployment that was providing the exact opposite incentive.
She was referring to the expanded unemployment benefits with funding through the CARES Act. Stock said an extra $600 a week, especially in places like Montana, where incomes are typically lower, a lot of people could earn more being laid off. She said it was hard for businesses to navigate these conflicting policies. But the bump in unemployment benefits is set to end on July 31st under the current legislation, and recent changes to the PPP may help more businesses qualify for forgivable loans. Stock said this could have a positive rippling effect through the economy.
This is in reference to Congress recently extending the term of those loans, and President Donald Trump signed that into law last Friday.
That's right.
So specifically, what do these new rules mean for small Montana businesses?
Originally, borrowers needed to use 75% of the PPP loan to cover payroll and benefits during an 8-week period. A lot of small business owners, especially those in the restaurant industry, said they had a hard time spending that much of the loan on payroll because they didn't have enough work for all of their employees during statewide shutdowns. With the new rules, just 60% of the PPP loan needs to go to payroll, which means more of that funding can be used to cover rent, mortgage, interest, and utilities. The window of time to use the loan was also extended from 8 weeks to 24. I talked to Marissa Keenan, who launched Sweet Peaks Ice Cream with her husband 10 years ago. They have shops in Whitefish, Kalispell, Missoula, and Bozeman, and a fifth location in Spokane, Washington. She said the PPP loan they received in April has helped them pay their core staff, rent, and utilities, and that the extended window of time to use the loan is good for businesses like hers.
Increasing the amount of time in which you can spend that money and still have forgiveness is incredibly helpful. It's incredibly helpful for us, but especially businesses that aren't even open yet.
Sweet Peaks gradually reopened some of its Montana shops in May. Keenan said she's confident their PPP loan will be forgiven and has a positive outlook for the summer.
It makes me feel like, okay, you know, we can get through this. Ice cream brings joy to people, and right now we all need a little bit of joy in our lives.
The deadline to be approved for a PPP loan is June 30th. Right now, there's more than $100 billion left in the federal funding pool.
Rachel, thanks so much for sharing your reporting.
Thanks, Nikki.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.